It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Hey, Kate, would you be cool with being bitten by a venomous snake all in the name of advancing humankind?
That is quite noble, Rob, but not for me.
Fair.
But for years, a man in Two Rivers let more than 200 venomous snakes take a bite out of him.
Cobras, mambas, vipers, rattlesnakes, and more have all tasted the flesh of Tim Freedy, who has also injected himself more than 650 times with doses of venom.
There is a purpose to Freedy's madness, and it could help save thousands of lives around the world with a more effective anti-venom treatment. Tim Freedy is director of herpetology at CentiVax. That's a San Francisco-based vaccine development company. Tim, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
You've been bitten more than 200 times by venomous snakes. Can you take us back to that first time? What prompted you to do this?
Well, what prompted me is I didn't want to use antivenom. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to lose a finger. I didn't want to miss work. All that stuff was just basically a logical decision to make myself immune to snake venom. I didn't want to use antivenom, so I became the horse. I used my body for self-experimentation to create immunity through time. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to start real slow and then slowly work your way up to pure venom or bites. So it took me a lot of years to do it, but the first couple bites were scary. Because when a cobra bites here, even though I had immunity and was injecting myself with venom, I knew I was immune. That's different than getting bit by the snake. Because when the snake bites you, you're getting way more than a lethal dose for the most part. Booster shots are pretty much lethal injections with mambas and taipans and cobras and crates. But when they bite you, you're getting a lot more venom, which makes it a lot more dangerous. So you don't know if you're going to make it. So the first couple bites, I just kind of sat back and breathed and tried to calm down and crossed my fingers that I didn't biff it. So, and that's the reason I did it a lot too, is because the more you do it, the better you get at it. You know, if you just get bit once in a while, that wasn't enough for me. I wanted to do it a lot. And that makes a regular bite really easy to do when you can do like a black mamba bite, taipan bite, 2 minutes back to back. So after that, everything was pretty easy to do. So, but not everything. It depends on the venom. All venoms are different. That's the problem that we have, is venom variation. It can vary from a juvenile to an adult, from a male to a female, to wild caught, to captive born. So venom varies. And that's why antivenom's a problem, because sometimes it doesn't recognize those venom variations. And that's the problem that we have with antivenom right now. So hopefully we can fix that.
How many snakes do you have access to?
Right now I don't have any. I retired from it in 2018 for many reasons. But at the time I probably had 60, 70 snakes. My whole basement was converted into a lab where I did all my research and my injections and bites and a lot of filming.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, really, I miss it a lot. You know, it's not like a drug or an addiction. I miss that what I was doing was for humanity, for people that die from snake bite, which is 125,000 people a year. And so for me, it was knowing that I'm doing something good where I can change medical history, I can change immunology or herpetology or zoology or toxicology. That made me feel really good to do that because I don't have a degree. So that was basically my contribution to medical science, is to use my own body and make a difference with it. And it worked. It wasn't easy, but it worked.
So when you were bitten the second time and you land in a coma for 4 days, how did they treat you in the hospital? I mean, could they neutralize the venom?
Well, what happened is I did the two cobra bites and biffed it. An hour later, I was basically flatlined. I had antivenom at the house, but it never got there because my neighbor who was there with me didn't know I had it. So that was just a stupid mistake on my part. So I had to use the zoo's antivenom when I got there, which was another mistake on my part. So I had to call the zoo back and apologize to them and explain what I'm trying to do. It didn't work. And at that time, my ex-wife basically said, you have to retire from this or fix it because we can't keep doing this. I had a small child, working a full-time job, trying to pay the bills. And after I got back from the hospital out of the coma in 4 days, I did an interview for the journal and got back into it again. And I just really, at that point, I got focused because I was so mad at myself for making that mistake that I never wanted to go back to the hospital again, and I never did.
Did the bites ever get less painful?
No, they're always painful. Venom is very inflammatory by nature. So even with the 100% immunity that I had, it still swells and it still hurts. Some of my bites, I'd swell from my fingertips to my neck. Like rattlesnake bites are completely different. I could be down for a month because the venom is just that necrotic. The funny thing is that the most dangerous ones, taipans and mambas, which are two of the most dangerous snakes in the world, they don't necessarily kill that many people. But because their venom's so toxic, it's so easy to do. It's a pure neurotoxin. Hmm. There's nothing necrotic about it. And those are the two divisions. If it's necrotic, it's going to be tough. If it's not necrotic, well, if you don't have immunity, you're going to die. But I had immunity, so it's pretty easy to do.
Why do snakes bite us in the first place?
Well, normally they're afraid. They just want to defend themselves. They know they're not going to waste venom for the most part because they can't really eat you. So, and basically a lot of the bites are people trying to pick up the snakes or trying to pin the snakes down. Normally, if you walk away from a venomous snake, it's going to go the opposite direction if you leave it alone. So a lot of those bites are because of that. It's just defensive. They're protecting themselves. They're using venom to either, like cobras can spray in your eyes. It's a defensive mechanism.
So, Tim, does immunity wane? Do you still have immunity, or do you lose it after a while?
Good question. You do lose it. It's called titer levels, and those titer levels drop, IgG. 80% of your antibodies are IgG, G for gamma. I call it good. So you have to continually keep boosting to keep your titer levels high. I'm still very immune because they did study me again 5 years after I retired, and I still had super strong immunity because my injections were lethal doses.
Mm-hmm.
So I generated twice as many venom-specific antibodies that I have in my body than you do alone in your body. I have twice as many that are directed just towards venom. So right now, my immunity is not what it was in 2018 because I haven't done it in a while. I did some stuff afterwards, but nothing major. But I could jump back into it again within 2 months, pretty much pick any snake in the world and be immune to it.
Wow.
Just because my base and foundation is so strong and so powerful, I can just branch off from that. So, which I might do in the future.
You're keeping your options open.
Oh, yeah. The lab doesn't want me to because they don't want me to kill myself and blow the project out of the water, which I understand. But if I do end up going to Australia, which looks like I'm going to do in Africa shortly, then I'll get back into it again probably just to protect myself. I don't want to go to Africa and not be immune. So,
if you've retired from snake bites, though, what keeps you focused today? What do you do?
What I'm doing right now, to be honest, is contacting people all over the world for education. Because it doesn't matter how good your vial of antivenom is, you have to get it into the field and you have to make it accessible to get to it and financially accessible. These people I represent are broke. They don't have any money. Hmm. So they can't afford a $2,000 of antivenom when they're only making 10 bucks a month. So I educate the people on wear boots, sleep on a cot, have a tent, have a cell phone, have a car, have gas in your car, know where your doctor is and where the antivenom is. Is it going to be 4 hours to get there? Well, by that time, you're probably going to be dead anyway.
Hmm.
Don't go to witch doctors. Don't go to traditional healers. That's where people die too. Almost 80% of people go to those because of their culture, go to those people and they do a dance and rub a rock on wherever they got bit and then they die. So that's unacceptable. So I'm reaching out to those people too, that once it's in the field, how are you going to get to it? So we want to lyophilize the product, which means it's dry. It lasts longer that way. And they can take saline, mix it to the vial, and shoot the antivenom, you know, hopefully right wherever the fight was or wherever they are, or, you know, things like that. So, yeah, time is tissue. I mean, like Black Mamba, you have 15, 20 minutes. That's it. So if you don't have that antivenom like right next to you, you're probably going to die. Same with taipans.
Tim Freedy is with us, director of herpetology at a vaccine company. Wisconsin native, has incurred hundreds of venomous snake bites over the years so that scientists could detect the antibodies that are capable of neutralizing the venom of different species of snakes. Tim, take us back to Wisconsin. You know, you grew up hunting garter snakes. What was your childhood fascination like?
That's my first snake bite, 1973, a garter snake. I was 5 years old. You know, I was born in 68, and that was my first bite. I was just a five-year-old kid, and I looked at it and was crawling around, didn't have any legs, and it freaked me out because I didn't know what it was. And it bit me, and my dad told me I'd throw it. I threw it in a pond, and some fish ate it. So that's kind of where it started. And then all through growing up, all my buddies, we'd go to zoos, and we'd go herping, and museums, and pet stores. And I was just always around it. Obviously, I didn't have any dangerous snakes at that time. We only have two venomous snakes in Wisconsin. So I just really got interested in it. And then I realized that people die from snake bite. I knew it, they died from snake bite, but it never dawned on me because I'm in Wisconsin. I never really paid attention to it. So once I got married and had my first son, I was about 30 years old. And then I started milking scorpions and spiders for the venom. I was going to sell it for medical research. It's just a hobby. It was nothing serious. And then I started to get into cobras. And that's when I started to realize, wow, you know, people die, and how can I solve this problem? I'm in Wisconsin where it's cold half the year, and we don't have many snakes here. But it didn't matter because I can order the snakes. And to be honest, I don't even need the snakes. I can just get dry venom, which I have now. I just have a ton of dry venom from years and years of milking snakes and drying it out to ride in and eat snakes. But I got the snakes and ordered them from my buddies in Florida that breed them. And they ship it Delta Dash here in a wooden crate. The snake comes in a bag, and you open up the crate, open up the bag, and you put the snake away, or you milk it and take the venom and process it. So
you mentioned the two venomous snakes in Wisconsin. What are they, and where might we encounter them?
We have timber rattlesnake and Massasauga, both pit vipers, and they're pretty much by the Mississippi River, but there's not many populations left. I've only found one my entire life in Spring Green, and because of habitat destruction or building, you name it, a lot of their territory was taken away, so they're really hard to find. So, and that's not just Wisconsin, that's all over the place, which is unfortunate, but, what are you going to do?
Do you know other people who donate their live body this way to science?
There's a long history with this, with self-experimentation in medical history, including three Nobel winners, that they use their bodies for stuff. And they didn't use venom like I do, but they've done different things to their own body to prove something works. And that's kind of the history with what I do. That's where it comes from. It's a really ancient, ancient, ancient thing. A lot of people in the past have used their own bodies to see if something's going to work or cure something or figure something out. As far as other people that do what I do, like Bill Haast was my mentor with it in Florida. He just since passed. He made it to 100 and passed away. He did it his entire life because he worked with hundreds and hundreds of snakes every day. And he didn't want to use anti-venom or dye or any of that type of stuff. So he almost came close to it. But there's a couple other people out there doing it. But, I don't teach anybody to do it. It's not my job. I'm not a clinician. I'm not an MD. I don't want to get sued.
You're 57. You may be off to Africa. What does the next chapter hold for Tim Freedy?
The next chapter is Australia, because what we're going to do, we want to build a plant in Australia. We're looking to do that. And we want to start with the vets, dogs and cats and cattle, which I love because I love dogs and cats. So we get to not only save humans, but we can save animals. So we reached out to some vets in Australia that are really excited about it. It also makes it easier if we can save a dog that weighs more than a mouse to take it to the three phases of FDA 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials for humans. So if we can prove it in cats and dogs and make that step, not only will he save dogs and cats and cattle, but it's going to be an easier transition at that point if it works to humans. You know, I don't have to be in the field. My job's done. I gave him my blood. I gave him my knowledge the best I could. And now I just kind of sit back in the weeds and wait and talk to people like you and communicate, you know, how important it is, snake-like death, because a lot of people just aren't aware of it because it doesn't really exist here. We only lose like maybe a dozen people a year in North America. Asia, you lose 100,000, so.
Yeah, wow. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your research.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for the great questions. They were awesome.
That is Tim Freedy of Two Rivers, who spent years letting venomous snakes bite him with the goal of trying to develop a better antivenom. Freedy is director of herpetology at a vaccine development biotech firm in San Francisco.